So I had that part of the Bible in Romans 13 read, because today we're going to be in our lesson text in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. A message simply, a building with a foundation of submission. And Romans 13, in parallel to 2 and 1 Peter chapter 2, is all about submission. And I don't know about you, but that's a very difficult subject to preach on. The Bible teaches, which is nice to have the Bible, that submission involves giving up of one's own will, their desire, or anything we want in life, and surrender it to God first. That's submission. It shows God a true humility, a trust and faith in obedience to Him. A Jesus is Lord attitude. Jesus is Lord. Submission is the way of the cross, following Jesus, trusting God is in control of our lives, surrendering to His grace. And submission frees us up from dwelling in past successes, those things that we've done great in God's church, or our failures, our sin, and the anxieties in life that will happen in the future. Submission to God always allows for us not always to get our own way. Selfishness or having even a victim mentality. Why did God do this? Why did that happen? Let us never to blame God in a submissive attitude. So the scripture reading will begin in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 25. I'll read that. And keep in mind what we read, or Bradford read for us in Romans 13. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent to by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor or the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is if when you sin and you're beaten for it, and you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, He didn't revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed. For we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls.
Amen.
That's the sermon today. Submission to civil authorities. Right? He says, be subject to for the Lord's sake, to every institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or the governor is sent to him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. This is important. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for doing evil, but living as a servant of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. The command is to submit ourselves, isn't it? How many times do we read the Bible and we struggle with, well, we're not under the old Ten Commandment law. We're under the law of liberty and love, which is true in Christ. We still have responsibilities as Christians under God's New Testament to respond and to respect governing authorities. It's a voluntary act, isn't it? We talk about the freedom to choose, and it's still that way before God, whether we choose to live to Him or not. It's got to be from our hearts. Everything stems from our hearts. Even our class this morning, we talked about sin coming from the heart. Well, our voluntary act to submit comes from the heart. Today there is very little respect for authorities. Maybe the older folks like the old school authorities and how it helped them out and kept them on the straight and narrow. But we live in a rebellious country, I'll say that alone. It's a prompt command for the believer. And Peter, right? Because Peter wrote this, Nero was killing Christians, or at least getting ready to. And it's tough to submit to dying for no reason. He's not telling them that they should obey him, contrary to God's law. Peter was the example of obeying God rather than men. So it isn't about submitting to sin. But there is a responsibility we have. If man's laws aren't conflicting with what God's laws are, we need to be submissive in attitude and action. An example, I put this up here, obeying speed limits. This is just a tiny responsibility as a Christian. And it's so easily overlooked. And sometimes I've talked to brothers, well, I just go with the flow of traffic. Well, if the traffic's going 80 miles an hour into Boston, I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, if you want to be strong-worded to being going by the Bible, because we say we're a church that goes by the Bible, again, this is just a small thought. How do we do in that area? In verse 16, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Freedom isn't freedom to do what we want as Christians. Yes, we're freed in Christ. We're not under the old law. We're not bound to 613 commands that we have to live out every day. But we can't be selfish in our freedoms, but to do as we should, being servants of God. And that starts from every member. That's every member's responsibility to get up and say, thank you, Father, for freeing me up from my sins so I can serve you. In verse 17, honor everyone. This isn't just those in the church. This is a command: honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Have you ever heard the expression, easier said than done? Well, here's the verse that's just that. Four simple commands. Do I follow these? Here's just four simple ones. Show proper respect to everyone. We must pass this prejudice test that we go about in our lives and we make judgment on people, or the preference test. Well, I'd rather hang out with that guy because he's a great man of God. Who do I not respect? To be honest with you, let's be like Jesus and see everyone straight across the boards as, I need to love these people. Love the brotherhood, right? In 1 John 4:19 and 21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, think about this, I love God. I've said it to you guys, man. I love God. And hates his brother, he's a liar. And he who does not love his brother, whom he is, or love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this command we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. And that's a command. A command to love. Again, Jesus loved the unlovable. Fear God. Remember the four simple commands. Fear God. At what times and in what places are you weak in this area? Satan wants us not to care for each other or the lost around us. Don't get this mistaken. He does not want people to come to the truth that we proclaim here in this room. He hates the truth. In James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And that's a truth. But we need to fear God. We need to fear God more than men. In verse 4, in the fourth command, honor the king. Peter's teaching what our attitude needs to be. In Titus 3, 1 and 2, remind the people, I got to remind you, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, there it is again, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. Boy, is that an intense thought. Again, that's not easy. Easier said than done. But it's a command, and it's a responsibility we have to grow in. Submission to masters in verses 18 through 20. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to do good and gentle, or to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if you sin and are beaten for it and you endure it? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. An application here, this is slaves to masters. Submission to our employers, right? The people that we work for. The challenge is to submit with all respect, even to people that are harsh. Have we not been around harsh people? It's about who we are before God and not who the employer is. We can't blame the employer for being harsh. They're in the world. We have a responsibility as Christians to show them who Christ is in us. Enduring unjust treatment is simply more than just persevering through it. I'm taking a lot of beatings, brothers, and man, life is hard out there. People just don't like Christians. It's enduring with all respect because you are a Christian. As you think about how we are to live in everyday life at work, it's not the issue of what we deserve, or not deserve, but being like Jesus. That's the whole attitude. That's why we call ourselves Christians. Submission to God. In verse 20 through 25, grasp this. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The command to submit is more than just having a lofty idea. Oh yeah, I submit. Jesus sets the example, living this out in his life for us to imitate, right? We're to be imitators of God. Since we are called Christians, do I follow him in word and deed? Before Pilate, when Jesus was treated unjustly, he made no retaliation of any kind, any type. He surrendered himself to the one who judges justly. It's not just Jesus enduring on the cross that drew him, but in the manner of how he endured. That made the difference, right? The centurion guard at the foot of the cross was amazed. He was astonished. He had seen a lot of crucifixions in his time, but nothing like this. The way Jesus died had such an impact, he couldn't help but say, surely this man was the Son of God.
Amen.
And final thoughts? Before the gospel message began to be preached, only 120 disciples were in the upper room. They were found in Jerusalem. Yet thousands heard prior. Thousands of people heard Jesus speak and they had seen miracles. Why did so few people follow before he died? But after the cross, thousands became disciples of Jesus. Enduring on the cross made the difference. Most men that were crucified, historically, they yelled and screamed, even possibly with cursing. And the ones that were nailing them to the cross, it was painful. And they were screaming. But this always gets me. Jesus, when he was nailed, he said, forgive them. Father, forgive them. The way of the cross is enduring unjust treatment with kindness to those who mistreat us and staying humble before God. Trusting that God can help us turn through tough times into glorious victories. That's the victory. Do I take up my cross and follow close to him? Or do I want a revengeful attitude? When we follow in his steps, our lives will affect people's hearts toward us and draw them to Jesus. Is that not the goal, to show them in both word and deed the way to Jesus? Philippians 3:10. You can look at that later. You know, we're all going to suffer as a result of being faithful to God. When we're in subjection to him, we're going to suffer. But better to suffer here in the life as a Christian for doing good than suffering in the afterlife. Before we stand and sing our song, I have a couple quick thoughts. I wrote these down. Whether we're a Christian or not, do I submit to any authority? Is Jesus our authority? for all of us here. Is Jesus your and my authority? When we submit to Christ's authority, we acknowledge that He is the source of truth and He is the answer for guiding us in our lives now, and even the guide to our life eternally in heaven. Right? Amen. They said, Jesus, show us the way. He said, I'm the way. If Jesus didn't, He's coming back. He's coming back again. I think that's the most incredible thing. The Bible explains it several times. When Jesus comes back, He's going to return. And He's going to claim those who are His own. And we're going to go to heaven. We're going to go there. For those who are faithful, that endure, that submit now in this life, are going to be there in heaven. For the person who hasn't become a Christian or is struggling to know if they really even are a Christian, return to the overseer, that shepherd of our souls. If there's anyone here that's subject, please study, come forward as we sing our invitation song.